Hello, everybody, and welcome to the VR2 on SI podcast. I'm your host, as always, Jack Foster, joined by VR2 on SI Rider and my friend Jake Nichols. It is Thursday today, a beautiful afternoon, a little later in the week on the pod here, but Jake and I are here. We're talking Tennessee, specifically recapping Tennessee's first SEC win under Josh Heupel and first road win on the year at that. Jake, a 62-24 beat down the Vols had on the Tigers last Saturday. Really something special from the Tennessee offense. 458 yards rushing is just mind-boggling. You know, you saw Tyon Evans with the three-score day. Lanith Whitehead, the freshman, had a solid day. Hooker, a solid day on the ground using his legs. You know, the Tigers had nothing for them, especially on the ground, for the entirety of the game. And the Vols defense did well, too, only limiting the Tigers to 24 points and never letting this really turn into a shootout. And even one of the Mizzou scores was a kick return. So it was a blowout through and through. And then everybody, once Jake and I wrap up things with Mizzou, we'll transition to talking the South Carolina game this weekend, noon at Neyland, with the blackout jerseys that they released the other day. Really cool stuff there, which we're going to get into as well. Jake, I know you're probably dying to talk about that, so I'll go ahead and introduce you here. Beautiful Thursday afternoon, as I said, Tennessee football 2 days away, wearing the blackouts. What'd you think of them, man?
Man, I thought they were fantastic, and I thought they were even better considering that, you know, they couldn't get the black helmets in time, because people have talked about that, about, you know, well, if you're going to do black jerseys and black pants, then why no black helmets? And I think Jason Swain was the one that kind of answered that on Twitter, that just because of the helmet companies, because of backlogging from COVID, that they weren't able to get the black helmets ordered in time. But, you know, kudos to the equipment staff for what they did anyway. I mean, personally, I like the white helmet with the black face mask and the black outlining and everything.
That outline is so sweet.
The way it contrasts a little bit with the jerseys and the pants, I think it looks fantastic. And I think they did, you know, an excellent job. And, you know, you saw in the video that we put out an article about yesterday that Tennessee released, that obviously the players were hyped. And that's the most important thing, that, you know, they love it. And that it's big, obviously, for recruiting. And look, you know, I know that there are some people that don't like it, but, you know, the main thing is that the players like it, and that it draws eyes for recruits, and that it gets fans excited. So, you know, if you don't like it, I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah, I don't see how anyone could not like it. They look so sweet, man. The only negative I could possibly think of is the fact that if it is a little hot on Saturday at noon, it's gonna, you know, make those matters worse. But nah, it's gonna be fun. The players are gonna have a blast wearing those jerseys and ultimately probably winning, which is another point I wanted to make. Do you think it's important for Tennessee to get a dub sporting these new alternates on Saturday?
I think that it's important for them too, but I think honestly, you know, given the excitement we've seen and given their confidence coming off that Missouri win, I mean, I guess, you know, shout me out if I'm wrong, but how could you not get a win with everything going on right now with, you know, with these jerseys and with the confidence, like I said, coming off that big Missouri blowout, you know, especially with coming out in those uniforms, and you could see the excitement just oozing from the players in that video. And, you know, I think they're ready to carry that out onto the field and take some of that out on South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, that's what we're going to be getting into today. Definitely more than likely to get the W with the jerseys, so that we're definitely a win amongst the fan base. And everybody, winning isn't the most important thing in life, but it sure is nice. And we here at VR2 are lucky enough to win every time we travel because we use Acker Travel Company by Dream Vacations. And people, if you're looking to book travel at any time during the year and don't want to do all the monotonous work, just contact our friends Beth and Price at Acker Travel Company so that they can just do that work for you. If you book with them, they'll throw in a $50 Visa gift card. I mean, 50 free bucks, what is there to lose? Go ahead and give them a call now at 678-983-2172 or visit their website, backer.dreamvacations.com, to find that dream vacation you need. That number again is 678-983-2172. All right, Jake. So Tennessee, Mizzou, 62-24, 458 yards rushing. I was speechless watching the game. I don't know about you. Tyon Evans was a monster. Hooker looked really composed. Aaron Beasley and Jeremy Banks had big days, of course. Banks, of course, with the pick six. So all around a great day for the Vols. You know, we beat it into the ground here on the pod since the season started, talking these inconsistencies with multiple facets of the game, whether it be overthrowing receivers, protection on the line, pass rush issues at times. Other than the running game, it kind of feels like, you name it, we've talked about it. But with Tennessee last Saturday, it seems like everything come together and they just blew out the Tigers, which not many people expected them to. So what's your biggest broad takeaway from the win?
I think the biggest thing is just kind of what I touched on earlier with confidence and with what they established in the running game. You know, I know Tyon Evans was counted for 3 touchdowns. Personally, it looked like he had 5.
Given that a couple of those were called back.
But you know, I think the biggest thing is just the confidence that they built in the running game. And just overall, I mean, you know, you look at the way that they just came out and dominated start to finish against the Tigers. And it was, you know, it was never in question. You know, from the end of the first quarter, they scored 4 first quarter touchdowns and just pounded Missouri from the start. And so I think that that tells you how powerful this offense can be, and that Alex Golesh talked on that a little bit this week, that, you know, he said that start, those first couple drives last Saturday, that that's what this offense is supposed to look like. And so I think that it should give fans a lot of excitement and a lot of confidence going forward in what can happen when you really get this offense in a groove and really have the right backfield put together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just, Josh Heupel's offense just really came together. And like you said, it was never close. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think if the refs make the right call about one of those Tyon Evans touchdowns, they scored on every drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just, you know, an insane performance from this Vol offense. The lowest yards per carry from a Tennessee rusher was 4.1 yards with Marcus Pierce. 4.1. Yep. That's still very good. Like, they ran all over them. And I know we talked about Mizzou's rush D being bad, but man, I just think maybe Tennessee's rushing game is just really that good. And kind of leads me to this question. Can Tennessee's running game compete with the best of the best in the SEC?
I think right now the answer is yes. Just given especially what we've seen from Tyon Evans, that he's started to, you know, garner comparisons even to Alvin Kamara. I mean, the dude had averaged 10 yards a rush on Saturday against Missouri. 10 yards per carry. That's literally a first down every time he touches the ball. And so, you know, I think that this Tennessee rushing attack has quickly worked itself into the conversation, and for good reason. You know, you've got talented backs all across the conference, but I think that you would be frankly dumb to look past the backfield that Tennessee has put together right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And multiple awards given out for this Tennessee offense as well, with, you know, Hooker's performance garnering him a Manning Award Star of the Week, and Cade Mays being Offensive Lineman of the Week for the SEC. And honestly, Tyon Evans should have been Running Back of the Week for the SEC. He looked great. I know Brian Robinson got it because he had the 4 touchdowns, but man,
yeah,
Tyon's performance was just something special. And going back to the passing game, though, it was all additionally very good for Tennessee. Hooker, 15 of 19 for 225 yards and a score. No competition now to speak of, probably. Like, he's number one, right, going forward?
I don't know. I think it's still, you know, pretty divided between those two. But I think that the way that Tyon has played, that you would be try to give him more carries for sure.
Yeah, and what about, like, I was like asking about the Tennessee quarterbacks. It feels like there's no turning back from Hooker now, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I got sidetracked there for a second. Yeah, as far as Hooker, I mean, he's obviously earned the start. And I think that just given his performance last week, Josh Heupel has obviously noted that too. You know, this week is the first time that we have seen Hooker at the top of the depth chart with no or beside it and, you know, no question of who the guy is going to be this week. And, you know, Heupel affirmed that. But, you know, going back to last year, I think that it is a refreshing thing for a lot of fans looking at this quarterback competition and seeing that Josh Heupel has seen the way that Hendon Hooker has outperformed Joe Milton. And instead of sticking with the guy that he thought was going to be it, like Jeremy Pruitt did with Garantano, despite, you know, bad performances, that he made a change and that it has obviously worked out for the better in the case of Hendon Hooker. And so I think that that's a breath of fresh air for a lot of fans, that, you know, you've got a coach that's willing to analyze a little more and make a switch when he sees there needs to be one.
Yeah, really great point there, Jake. I mean, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. And another thing I wanted to touch on here with this passing game, you know, Velus was a little PPR machine on Saturday, you know, 7 catches, 80 yards. Hooker seems to have a good rapport with all these receivers. You know, we've seen the bombs to Peyton and Tillman got involved on Saturday. Do you think this is a product of camp? I know you went to the practices. If like when you're watching camp, did you expect Hooker to kind of have this good rapport if he got the start? Or do you just think that this is his experience coming through as a super senior?
I think that it's really more of his experience. Given what I saw from him in camp, I mean, you know, he looked fine, but he didn't look like he had anywhere near the control or the poise that he has right now. And so, you know, that comes with, I think, the experience that he built at Virginia Tech and just kind of getting into a season, but also just getting more comfortable in this offense. You know, we've seen week to week how he's progressed, how he's gone through his progressions more and made his reads, and how he's looked more and more relaxed in the pocket in Tennessee's offense, and just how he's adapted to this system. And I think he's done a great job getting himself ingrained in that. And Josh Heupel has talked about, you know, just how his confidence has grown. And Agolis even said this week, you know, he's been a certifiable dude in terms of his toughness. And so I think you just really like where Hooker is at right now, both in terms of mindset just and in his physical abilities, which he obviously displayed last week.
Yeah, did you see the nickname they gave him? Tennessee Football Socials, yep. Hendon Cinco. I thought it was pretty
Hendo
cool.
Cinco.
Yeah. I thought it was all right. And let's go to the Tennessee defense here. You know, like I said earlier, Mizzou had the big kick return, so really they held him to 17 points defensively. Jeremy Banks, Aaron Beasley, they looked great, filling that Juwan Mitchell void at linebacker. You know, Banks with the pick and McCullough with the pick as well. So they had two turnovers, Tennessee defensive unit did. Held Beatty to 2 yards per carry. You know, coming in, we talked about last week that he was the one to look out for. You know, he's one of the best SEC running backs, and, you know, Tennessee held him well. So what do you think of this defensive performance from the Vols on Saturday?
I thought they were outstanding, and I think they just keep getting more and more comfortable under Tim Banks. And, you know, shout out to Rodney Garner, man. He has had that defensive line on point in the first 5 games of this season. And what a difference it makes, right? You know, whenever you have one of the best D-line coaches in the country, as opposed to literally no defensive line coach last season under Jeremy Pruitt. And so I think that that obviously Matt Butler noted that as well in a comment that's kind of made the round now about, you know, what's been the difference for them this season. You know, it's not necessarily that much in the roster change, although you like what William Mohan, Caleb Tremblay, and obviously Byron Young have done, but more just in the coaching and in the difference that that's made. And, you know, Butler said earlier this week that it's, you know, nothing against the previous staff, that other guys have run the system that they ran last year and have had success with it. But obviously you look at the film, you look at the way that they're playing this year as opposed to last season, and there is a difference there. And, you know, I think it also goes back to what Tyler Barron told me earlier this year, that they're just playing harder for each other. And it goes back to that culture that Josh Heupel has developed. And obviously it is centered on this defensive unit, and they are really living up to that standard so far this year that Rodney Garner has established. And that defensive line is playing its butt off right now, and I expect that to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, let's kind of transition to talking about the South Carolina game this weekend. As I mentioned earlier, noon at Neyland this Saturday, October 9th. And, you know, both teams are 3-2, but South Carolina doesn't really have a quality win. Definitely not an SEC win at that. Tennessee is favored by 10, looking like the Vols are going to get their second consecutive SEC win under Josh Heupel. Let's switch it up here and talk about the Tennessee defense first, since you just were talking about them, kind of keep it fresh. What do you expect to see from that unit against South Carolina's offense? And is there anything we should look out for on this Gamecock offense?
I expect to see, firstly, for them to get after the rushing attack and to make it really tough for South Carolina to move the ball. Right now, Tennessee is at 26th in the country, allowing 100 rushing yards per game. And they have been outstanding in that so far this year and have really done a good job. And they've also got 42 tackles for loss. That's 5th in the country. And wow, so I think that you look to get the defensive line going early, get them in the backfield, let Tyler Barron and Byron Young get comfortable, and start to try to wreak havoc on Luke Doty and the Carolina backfield. And I think that it's going to be really tough for the Gamecocks to get going, like I said, on the rushing attack. But like I said, obviously you've got to play your keys in the secondary and the linebacker core as well. I expect another good day from Jeremy Banks and Aaron Beasley. You know, Banks, we've obviously seen that emotional side and, you know, the athleticism as well, given that he almost took a pick to the house against Missouri. But I think that from Tennessee's secondary, it's also key to try to get those guys going early. And because you've seen success from them, Tennessee right now has 6 interceptions, and they're one of the top teams in the country with picks, even though they didn't have any through the first 2 games. And so I think you've liked what you've seen from the Tennessee secondary, and that altogether they just kind of need to keep going with what they've been doing, and they'll be able to have success pretty easily against South Carolina.
Yeah, and it definitely seems like you're confident in Tennessee's ability to, you know, have a good defensive day on Saturday. But if there's one thing from this, which aspect, I guess, from this Gamecock offense will be more potent? Will it be the passing game or the running game?
I think it's got to be the passing game, just given what we've seen from Luke Doty. You know, they had a little bit of controversy earlier this year between him and Zeb Noland, and then Noland got hurt against Georgia, giving the way or kind of giving the opening there for Doty to come in. And credit to him, he's taken the reins. You know, if I think he'll get the start this weekend, if he does, or so long as he does, he'll be making just his 3rd start as a college quarterback after coming in and making his 1st start against Kentucky a couple weeks ago. And so I think that you've got to try to make life rough on him. As mentioned, though, he does have a good arm. And so I think that you've got to watch out for that early. I'm trying to find the stats here real quick on his last week. I had it pulled up a moment ago. I apologize. Let's see. Okay, yeah, against Troy, Doty was 20 for 34, 255 yards and 1 touchdown. And so obviously, you know, Troy is not a great opponent for a measuring stick, but going back even to South Carolina, he was 17 for 25 for 158 yards. So obviously not setting the world on fire in passing yards, but you can still, you know, kind of detect the accuracy there in his stats. And
that game was against Kentucky, you know. Yeah.
And see that he could kind of, you know, make a little bit of trouble.
Right. Yeah. I agree. I was thinking about this, you know, earlier this week on radio and stuff, and it definitely seems like if there's one aspect of this Gamecock offense, it will be the passing game that can put up some numbers. But let's go to the Tennessee offense. You know, building off the rushing attack performance that was awesome last Saturday, really fun to watch. Do you expect to see that again, or maybe a bigger day, but through the air for Tennessee this Saturday?
I would expect to see them to try to go as much on the ground as they can. Just because you had that much success against Mizzou, which, you know, while it's one of the worst rushing defenses in the country, it's still an SEC defense. And so, you know, you weren't running for that much over a Vanderbilt either, or against an FCS opponent, even though that's what they made the score look like. And so I think that they're obviously going to try to key again on that early. And, you know, like I said before, try to keep Hendon Hooker comfortable. And obviously you want to go to Javonte Payton again, if you can, just given the success that he's had.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned Mizzou being still an SEC defense, and I want to make sure our listeners know that, you know, South Carolina is still an SEC team. They're not a complete slouch. Tennessee won last year 31-27 in week 1. So they'll be looking to go 2 consecutive here against the Gamecocks. But, you know, most everyone is expecting Tennessee to win this game with the black jerseys to go, you know, 2 consecutive. But I just want to ask you, do you think this is going to be an easy dub or a potential stub for Tennessee on the road on the season?
I think this is going to be a fairly easy dub. I'm going to say that they can win this one by at least 2 scores.
Oh, okay. Nice. Do you like my little rhyme there? I was very proud of it.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that. You are our own Mother Goose, Jack, or Dr. Seuss, whatever you want to call it.
I love it. Let's do some over-unders here. Tennessee over-under 200 passing yards against the Gamecocks.
I'm going to go over on that one.
250 rushing yards. They had 450 last week. It's 250 this week.
I'm going to go over on that one as well. I think Tyon has another big day.
All right. And let's go South Carolina, 250 passing yards over-under.
I'm going to go under.
Okay, and South Carolina, 150 rush yards over under.
I'm going to go over on that one. I think they have a little more success than just 150.
Okay, all right. And what's your final score prediction for Vols Gamecocks?
I'm going to go, let's see, I had it at least at 14 points. You know what? I'm going to go 41-24. I think, actually, you know, I take it back. I'm going to go 41-20, right at what each team is averaging this season. Tennessee is averaging 40.8 points per game. South Carolina has only scored above 23 once this season. So I'm going to go 41-20 balls.
Okay. Mine's a little close. I said wow when you said Tennessee's going to win by two scores, but come to think of it, that's my prediction as well. So I don't know why I said that, but I'm going to go Tennessee 38, South Carolina 21, another win for Josh Heupel, heading into the big Ole Miss matchup next weekend, October 16th. So, Jake, this weekend, black jerseys, is it more exciting for you going to cover this game, watching them look so awesome on the field?
Yeah, I think that's definitely an exciting part for me. And, you know, so long as this game goes as expected, then I think we are both looking forward to that period at the end, whenever you can get down on the field and with like 5 minutes left. Because I want to try to bring my camera down and take as many pictures of those uniforms as I possibly can.
Absolutely, my man. It's going to be great. And everybody, you can watch Tennessee, South Carolina on ESPN2 or live stream on ESPN. As I said earlier, game time is 12 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, October 9th. And for everybody, that's going to do it for this episode of the VR2 on SI podcast. Jake, other than Tennessee, South Carolina Saturday, what are you doing the rest of the week?
Man, that is about it. I've got a high school game to call tomorrow night. And then other than that, just getting ready for Vols Gamecocks and looking forward to hanging out with my favorite ginger buddy.
Absolutely, my man. I love that so much. That made my day, Jake. You're so sweet. Hey, everybody, follow Jake at JNichols_2121. He's one of the best in the business at covering Tennessee sports. And also give myself a follow, because who doesn't love the host, at Jack Foster TV. Also, as always, be sure and keep up with VR2 on SI at VR2 on SI. Thank you so much for listening and allowing Jake and I to do what we love week in and week out, and that is to talk Tennessee sports. For Jake Nichols, I'm Jack Foster, as always, and we will talk to all of you wonderful people next time.